Let's turn to the book of Titus this evening. Titus chapter 2. Book of Titus chapter 2. We're going to resume our study from this morning and note some principles that will be evident in a fully functional Christian home. What are some base principles that will be evident in a fully functional Christian home? We've made reference to the dysfunctional home. We've made reference to the malfunctioning home. What's evident in a home that is fully functional? Just some principles I'd like to share with you this evening. Certainly the study is not exhaustive, otherwise we'd be here for a lot longer. But I trust that these principles will be an encouragement to you and I to do our part in having homes that are fully functional. In Titus chapter 2, please, note then verse number 11 to 13, it reads, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity this evening to spend a few moments around your table, remembering your Son, the Lord Jesus. His precious blood and his broken body that was shed on our behalf. We ask now as we spend these few moments within your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us into truth. O God, teach us. Encourage us, remind us concerning principles that will be evident in a home that honours you. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The fully functional home, we noted first and foremost this morning, for a home to be fully functional, there needs to be discernment, spiritual discernment. Discernment in the area of the possibility or the presence of malfunctioning within the home. During the various stages of raising a family, there are various challenges. So it's very, very important if a family is to be fully functional, mum and dad, husband and wife need to be discerning. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Secondly, we noted that each family member fulfills their God-given role. For a family to be fully functional, then those within that family unit, they understand, this is my role. This is my role as the husband. This is my role as the wife. This is my role as a child. And as each family member receives with thanksgiving and in the power of the Holy Spirit, submits themselves to fulfill that role, then the home will be a happy home. If everybody's playing their position. And then thirdly, this morning we noted the third principle concerning a fully functional home is that this home will be governed by biblical principles. Not only are the family members fulfilling their God-given role, not only is there discernment, but the home is governed, is directed, is ordered by biblical principles. And this morning we got up to order is evident within the home. There must be order in the home. And for there to be order in the home, we stress the fact of biblical expectations need to be set. We noted the fact that there must be boundaries need to be set and honoured. Expectations, boundaries, responsibilities are given out and fulfilled within the home. And we noted the importance of children learning to value monies and to value the principle of hard work and working in earning money. And so these are just some ways that you and I can build order within our home. We have expectations and we have boundaries and we have responsibilities, and our children learn the value of money and working for it. The principle of hard work. So our homes need to be governed by biblical principles. There needs to be order within the home. The home is not a circus. A home ought not to be a free-for-all. A home is not a transfer station. A home ought to be an ordered haven of rest. A progressive haven of rest. Where joy lies within, where the productivity is evident within the home, where lives have been built up for the glory of God. And if that's to take place, there must be order in the home. Another biblical principle that needs to be evident if there is to be a fully functional home, not only order within the home, but also holiness and godliness need to be evident within the home. Holiness and godliness needs to be evident within the home. The Bible teaches us here in Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, God's grace that delivers, provides salvation has appeared to all men. And for those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, God's grace beyond delivers us from the sentence of sin. But God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and in turn to live soberly, righteously, and godly. The grace of God saves us from sin, but also the grace of God teaches us, educates us, to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live a sober, righteous, and godly life. And this should be evident in your home. This should be evident in my home. A home that is fully functional is governed by biblical principles. There is order within the home, but also there is holiness and godliness is evident in the home. In other words, biblical standards are upheld within the home. It's evident, for example, in the kind of music that is played within the home. It's evident by the way each family member conducts themselves within the home. What they watch on TV, what they read, what they view on the computer screen, how they use their phones, biblical standards are upheld within the home. Let me ask you this evening, what is present within your home? Does it reflect holiness and godliness? Often when we go door knocking, we'll note on the doorpost of some homes, there'll be a little emblem. And it reflects that this family are Jewish, a mezuzah. And it's meant to be a reflection that this home is a Jewish home. And I can assure you that I've been to many homes where I've pointed to that and I've said to people, oh, Jewish. I said, no, not us, that was the previous owners. Or I'd forgotten that was still there. Where it's very obvious that some people that have this mezuzah on their home, it means very, very little. For some it means something. And it's interesting that there is often a variety of responses when you make reference to the mezuzah and what it represents. And whether that family really is a true representation of that emblem. And I trust and pray that our homes are Christian homes. A Christian home is governed by holiness and godliness. What's present in your home? I don't know about your home, my home is a smoke-free zone. My home is a alcohol-free zone. We don't have alcohol, no alcohol ever enters the Schiavone household. Never has. Never will, by the grace of God. It's a smoke-free zone. It's an alcohol-free zone. We don't have Buddhas in our home. What an ugly statue. This ugly fat man that needs to go on a diet that has no attraction, that reflects a religion, is damning people to hell. We don't have Buddhas in our home. But I know of Christian family that have a little Buddha because they think it looks cute. Shameful. We don't have immorally suggestive pictures in our home in the name of art. I'm amazed when I walk into some so-called Christian homes, one wonders whether, is this really a Christian home? And I trust and pray that your home and my home, if people walk into our home, they can see this is a Christian home. It's evident. They might see scripture memory, the evidence of scripture memory. They might see plaques that are Christian. They might see, hear music that is godly. Our homes need to reflect holiness and godliness. An unsaved person should walk into our home and notice the difference. I remember years ago, we had a neighbour of ours. We weren't married for very long, and the person walked in our little unit, and the fellow looked around. He said, "Where's your TV?" I said, "Well, it's not in the lounge because it has no preeminence in our home. It's in the cupboard, and it comes out when it's useful. Otherwise, it lives in the cupboard." And he was absolutely floored that we didn't have a TV in the lounge. Now, I'm not saying you're ungodly if you have a TV in your lounge, but I'm simply saying that this gentleman walked into our home and he noticed that our home was not like his home, not like the average home. And for a home to be fully functional, holiness and godliness needs to be evident within the home. I'm not just referring to what you have or what you don't have in your home, but we're referring to cultivating a spiritual culture within your home. By having godly music, by having godly resources within your home, where the Word of God is evident in your home, that when people come to your home, they can see very clearly, this is a Christian home. So holiness and godliness should be evident in a home that is governed by biblical principles. And I challenge you, fathers, husbands, take a good look at your home and ask the hard question, can people walk into this home, my home, and see the evidence of Jesus Christ? I trust they can. I trust they can. Holiness and godliness needs to be evident in the home. We need to deny ungodliness, amen, and worldly lust that lives soberly, righteously, and godly. And may that be evident in your home and in my home. Another principle that is evident in a home that is governed by biblical principles, there is not only order, but there is holiness and godliness in the home. But thirdly, there is unconditional love is evident within the home. Unconditional love is evident within the home. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 4-7, the Bible gives us some principles concerning unconditional love. Verse 4 reads, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." Beloved, if unconditional love is evident in your home, then you are well on the way to establishing a fully functional home. And here within 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have unconditional love fleshed out. And mum and dad, husband and wife, the buck stops with you. May God help us to be a reflection of that unconditional love within the home. Look, if we had more time, we would go through this passage of Scripture. But for the sake of time, we'll move on. And I just want to stress that very fact, that a home that is governed by biblical principles will be a home that is ordered, will be a home that has unconditional love. Unconditional love is evident within the home. Not only is there holiness and godliness evident within that home, not only are there biblical standards upheld within that home in various forms, but also there is the love of God within that home. And mum and dad, husband and wife, you and I are responsible to lead the charge in that regard and to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm so thankful for Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, that teaches us the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So your home, my home, can be a home full of love, can be a home full of peace, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we can flesh out this unconditional love towards one another. People should enjoy coming into your home because they sense the love of God. That's how it ought to be. May I also stress contentment. Contentment. Within a fully functional home that is governed by biblical principles, there is the evidence of contentment. Go to 1 Timothy, please, chapter 6. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Verses 6 to 10. First Timothy chapter 6, 6 to 10 reads, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, strayed from the faith, and pierced themselves, caused personal harm towards themselves, through with many, not just some, many sorrows." A fully functional home is a home that is governed by biblical principles. Order, holiness, godliness, unconditional love, contentment. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Our joy and satisfaction, is it not in Jesus Christ? It is not in how much we possess. Our joy and satisfaction is in Jesus Christ. And the Bible warns us, for the love of money, those that pursue wealth covet after Well, if they are believers, they will err from the faith, they will stray, they will potentially stray, and they will pierce themselves with many sorrows. So, beloved, this evening, if we're to have homes that are fully functional, governed by biblical principles, then you and I need to make sure that God guards our hearts against covetousness. Having food and raiment, therein be content. Oh, yes, Pastor, I believe that. Well, I hope you believe that. But do we really live that out? Having one another, what a bonus. Having a husband, having a wife, having children, having food and clothing, be content. Beloved, may God help us to be thankful for what we have. And don't waste your time mourning over what you do not have. In all things, be thankful, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So let's be thankful for what we have, and let's make sure that within our homes there is a spirit of gratitude, there is a contentment. Oh, I might not have what they have next door, but thank God that I have what I have. That spirit of contentment will help you and I to develop families that are fully functional. Don't waste your time looking over the fence and coveting over what so-and-so has and you do not have. That is of no value to you or to your family. And parents, I warn you, if you are covetous, your children will become covetous. May God help us to be thankful for what we have. A spirit of contentment is so critical today in order to build a fully functional home. And also, there needs to be the cultivation of family unity. Note there in Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 25, it reads, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Our homes need to be built on biblical principles. There needs to be the evidence of order. There needs to be the evidence of holiness and godliness. There needs to be the evidence of unconditional love within the home. There needs to be the evidence of contentment. But also there needs to be the cultivation of family unity, identity. Family unity is evident in a home that is fully functional. By this I mean there is a sense of belonging within the home. If this is evident, then family members will want to spend time together. They'll want to do things together. This is what being a family is all about, is it not? All for one and one for all. And if our children, parents, do not have a sense of belonging, they will look for that elsewhere. And that might be disastrous. The evidence of family unit, where within the home there is acceptance. There must be acceptance and honor for one another. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And within our home, so likewise, the ground needs to be level, where there is love and acceptance within the home. This will help to build a home that is fully functional. No matter your level of intelligence, or ability, or talent, or achievement, or wealth, within their home, there ought to be a sense of unity. There ought to be a sense of belonging, acceptance, honor, one for another. So let me encourage you, families, cultivate that. have meals together, pray together, read the Bible together, worship God together within the local church, talk, communicate, do things together. I'm afraid that the world's philosophy has crept into the home where family members have been subtly encouraged to find their belonging outside of the home. And that is not biblical. Our sense of belonging, our sense of love and acceptance should be within the home. The home ought to be where you want to be. Because you feel accepted, you feel honored, you feel respected and loved. So families, let me encourage you, build family unity within your home. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 14:20, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. But may God help us to build a family unity within our home where there is love and acceptance within the home. And that could be simply cultivated by just communicating one with another. Having meals together. Doing things together. This builds family unity. So here are some practical principles that will help us to have a home that is governed by biblical principles. And that's the fourth main principle third main principle that we have stressed this evening. I'd like to move on to the fourth main principle that will aid a home that is fully functional. And that is the presence of instruction and discipline within the home. In Ephesians, please, chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6. In verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A fully functional home is a home where there is spiritual discernment. A fully functional home is a home in which each family member understands their God-given role and fulfills it. A fully functional home is a home where the home is governed by biblical principles. But fourthly this evening, a fully functional home is a home where there is instruction and there is discipline. Note then verse number 4, the word nurture and the word admonish or admonition. Instruction and discipline. Instruction and discipline. The word nurture, the base of that word, has the idea of tutoring, educating. There is also the implication of discipline, admonish to warn. So when you put these two words together, you have the principle of instruction and discipline. There needs to be instruction within the home. And it begins with you and I as fathers, taking the charge, leading. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, we need to take the lead and provide instruction within the home. Yes, on a physical, practical level, during the different stages of life. Dads, don't leave it up to mum to provide all the practical instruction. You get involved and you provide practical instruction in the lives of your children. But more importantly, what about the spiritual instruction? What about praying and reading the Word of God to your children? What about providing counsel for your children? From birth, we began to read the Bible to our children. We would have them having quiet times from very early age, before they even knew what a quiet time was. We'd leave them in the cot with their little Bible, and we would teach them time to spend time in the Word of God. And they would flick through their little picture Bible, having their quiet time. And that's so critically important, parents, that we teach our children to read the Word of God and we provide godly counsel. We invest in spiritual resources. Oh, we spend money on all sorts of things. But parents, when was the last time you bought a godly CD? Some godly music for your home? When was the last time you brought some spiritual resources for your home? See, the home needs to be a place of instruction. Boy, I wish we had more time, but I'll leave it at that. There needs to be instruction within the home. Don't leave it up to the school to instruct your children. You instruct your children. It's your responsibility. And if you're wondering, proof text, well, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Read Ephesians chapter 6. As well, verse 4, the responsibility to educate our children first and foremost lies within the home. That's a good place to say amen. The home. Oh, Pastor, can't wait till my children go to school. No, you need to be educating your children. That's your responsibility. The Greens in Tasmania are pushing that we ought to start sending children to school at 3.5. That is completely unintelligent. Yeah, 3.5. Absolute nonsense. Parents, don't relegate your responsibility to instruct your children. Those formative years are the most important years. Seize the opportunity to have your children under your care as long as possible, and you educate them for the glory of God. Amen. And not only educate them, discipline them. This is part of our parental responsibility. Set the boundaries. Think, plan, teach your children what the word no means. And the consequences of not obeying the command no from mum and dad. Teach them to obey immediately, completely, and joyfully. And if they fail on one of those points, then you apply biblical discipline. When your child disobeys, you apply biblical discipline. Imposed discipline will lead to self-discipline. Beloved, this evening, our homes need to be governed by instruction and discipline. Instruction, physical and spiritual, and also discipline. We set the boundaries, we set the expectations, we hand out the responsibilities, and we expect our children to obey. And we expect them to obey immediately. We expect them to obey joyfully. We expect them to obey completely. Oh, Pastor, is that really possible? Yes. Amen. Yes, it's possible. Otherwise, if they won't obey, you impart wisdom. And when you impart that wisdom, they'll work it out. The light will come on eventually. If I obey, there is happiness. If I don't obey, there is pain and suffering. It's as simple as that. Instruction and discipline. Principle number 5. Prayer. Prayer. A fully functional home is a home where there is the belief and practice of prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, prayer completes the armor of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 23, Samuel said, "God forbid that I should sin in not praying for you." Parents, we need to regularly pray for our children, especially as they go through the different stages of life. Prayer. If we're to have fully functional homes, we need to pray. Parents, how much do you pray for your children? Yes, we will pray for their health and well-being. What about praying for their salvation? What about praying that God will give them a heart of surrender to the will of God? What about praying that God's will be evident within each of their lives? What about praying for their friends, evil communication, corrupt good manners? What about praying for their character development, their purity? Yes, even their lifetime partner. Praying for our children. There are specific needs during the various stages of life. And we as parents need to be given to prayer. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible teaches us that the blessed Holy Spirit helps us to pray as we ought. And I'm so thankful for this wonderful promise from the Word of God. For the Bible teaches us in verse 26 of Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We need to pray for our families. And also there needs to be an example set. First Thessalonians, please, if you would turn there with me. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. First Thessalonians, chapter 1. Look at verse number 5 to verse 8. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What a wonderful testimony this church had. What a wonderful example the people of this church were to others. I'm afraid for the average parent, their motto is, do as I say, not as I do. This wasn't Paul's attitude. The far-reaching effect of our life example cannot be underestimated. And here we have an illustration of that very fact, where the Apostle Paul commends the example of this church family, and said that their example was well known there in the regions of Macedonia and beyond Achaia. And really, Paul said, we really don't need to say much. It's evident to all that you are a godly people. And beloved, within our homes, consider the far-reaching effect of our life testimony, especially on the next generation. The power of a godly example. Parents, your children will not rise beyond you. That is normally how it works. If you jump this high, the probability your children will only jump this high. Don't expect your children to overtake you. We hope they do. And that's our prayer. But that's why it's just so very critical and so very important that you and I live out the Christ life and be that godly example. That we live out the life of Christ, where the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Our sin has the potential to continue to sprout into the third and fourth generation, the Bible teaches us. And may God help us as Bible-believing Christians in the power of the Holy Spirit to break that effect of sin and to live out a godly example before the next generation. Parents, our children, church family members, our children need to see Christ in you and I, the hope of glory. And we can say it all we like, but we need to live out Christ. Our children need to see that you and I walk with God. Our children need to see in your life, in my life, the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Our children need to see that our priority is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our children need to see that we treat one another with honor and kindness and forgiveness. Our children need to see faithfulness and commitment to the local church. Our children need to see a spirit of generosity. Our children need to see that we're not governed by materialism, but we are content in Christ Jesus. We need to live out a godly example. And rest assured, parents, your children will follow what they see. Last but not least this evening, what will equate a home that is fully functional, consistency. Consistency. It was Joshua, in the book of Joshua, Caleb said, Chapter 14, verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. The word consistency means a permanence of form. Standing in the same place over a period of time. Caleb was a consistent individual. Did he continue to grow spiritually? Of course he did. Yet the principles he believed, his faith was firm. It was unwavering. See, inconsistency communicates a lack of commitment. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Inconsistency communicates a lack of commitment. And it will produce an uncertain sound in the hearts of that next generation. Especially before those within our family. It will lead to confusion. It will dampen their enthusiasm or faith element. And we'll also put a question mark over what do we really believe by our lack of consistency. Christ loved the church, but I'm wondering, does mum and dad love the church? Do they really believe this? Beloved, may God help us to be consistent. I'm absolutely convinced that consistency is at the heart, the key to building a fully functional home. Consistency. How consistent are you? To be consistent, we'll have to be convinced in what you believe. Work it out, Dad. Work out your standards and convictions and stand somewhere. Amen? You better be convinced. And you better be prepared to stand alone And you'll need to be prepared to say no. Consistency involves self-discipline. If I had time, I'd stress some further principles that are involved in consistency. But let me just say, beloved, this evening, if our homes are to be fully functional, mum, dad, husband, wife, work it out. Work out your biblical standards, work out your convictions, and stand. If Jesus Christ is really your all, then live it out. Amen? Live it out. Consistency. Is it possible to have a fully functional family in the 21st century? Yes. Yes, I believe it's possible. I'm not referring to a perfect home. Nobody has a perfect home. But we can have a fully functional home. You're the key. I'm the key. What are some key ingredients? Discernment. Fulfilling our roles. Be governed by biblical principles. Instruction. Discipline. Prayer. Example. Consistency. Seven principles I believe will be helpful for you and I in building godly homes. So young people, let me encourage you, take note of these principles. Store them away. Make them a part of your life. These are just biblical principles anyway. Each of these principles can apply in a very personal, non-family setting. But let me encourage you to do your part in building a godly home. And let's pray one for another. The devil is attacking the home. May God help us to support the family unit. Let's pray.